Amen, Caitlin. What a beautiful song. A powerful song, the goodness of God. We all can say it. Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are listening online. Before I continue to speak, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer and ask for the Lord's help. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord, we gather to say that you are good. You are great. There are so many wonderful words to describe who you are, Lord. You are our Lord and our Savior. And we gather as a body today to share your word, what you put on my heart, that you would use it for your glory. And Lord, it doesn't matter who's up here, Lord. We're all sinners saved by grace. And our job is just to be prepared and you do the rest, Lord. So we ask now for the help, your help for today's message. May it come out clear. May it be encouraging. May it be edifying. And then may each person here take something away. They can take it outside these walls in their week, Lord, to show Christ to this world that needs you and to be a blessing to each other. So we just pray all these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, our church had our business meeting. And we went over all the ministries. And one of the ministries under the care ministries bucket was Get Well Cards. And in late September, I was really sick for a couple weeks. And when I started to get better, I went outside to get the mail. And I got the mail, and I went inside, and I got a mailbox. In my mailbox was a Get Well Card from the church. And you probably can't see it, but it was Charlie Brown. And you notice Charlie Brown by his head, right? The bald-headed little boy. And it brought a big smile to my face. See, I love Charlie Brown. It's my favorite comic strip. And Charlie Brown is the principal character of the comic strip Peanuts. And I know many here know about Charlie Brown the Peanuts. And I know many of you probably love them too. Now, if you don't like Charlie Brown the Peanuts, well, I forgive you. If you want to learn more about Charlie Brown and the Peanuts, I'm your guy because I know all about him. But who doesn't love Charlie Brown? You have a great cast of characters. You have Snoopy, the best dog ever. His best buddy, Woodstock, the little yellow bird. And then you have Charlie Brown's sister, Sally. Linus, who carries around the blanket all the time. You have the extreme personalities of Peppermint Patty. She's always wearing sandals. And then Lucy, she's a handful. And then Pigpen, with all the dust storming around him. And another fun fact about Charlie Brown, when I was a kid, I had Charlie Brown bed sheets and blankets. I don't have them now. Caitlin won't let me. They don't match the decor. But I still have in the garage my old comic strip books of Charlie Brown. The Thanksgiving one, you've seen them on CBS. They do it every year. Christmas, it'll probably be shown in the next couple weeks if they haven't shown it so far. So anyway, I got this card, and it brought a smile to my face, and I want to read what it says in it. So Charlie Brown's talking to Lucy, and he says, "They say that if life gives you lemons, you should make lemonade." We all know that. We've heard that. He continues this conversation. He says, "What if life gives you Brussels sprouts?" So I was going to call Adel because I know he's the healthy broccoli guy. Maybe he can give me an answer. But I literally sat there in my garage, and I said this out loud to myself. That's a very good question. I opened the card, and it simply says this. Don't even think about it. Just get well soon. So thank you for those who are in this ministry. You brought a smile to my face. But believe it or not, God can use a Charlie Brown card to make you think about your message. You see, you think about Charlie Brown's life and all that he went through in the comic strip history, if you know about him. So I'm going to give a description of Charlie Brown. And this will resonate for you to know the character. It says, Charlie Brown is a loyal, determined person. He's just a bit wishy-washy. He's a true friend, a dedicated baseball manager, even though they always lose. Very responsible when it comes to taking care of his dog, Snoopy. Charlie Brown never gives up, even when he probably should. He is kind and patient by nature and wears his heart on his sleeve. He likes helping others, but try as he might, he just can't seem to help himself. Poor Charlie Brown. But this is a comic strip, and this is his life and his story. But literally, it got me to pause about my life and my story. Each of us here has a story. And my question is, what does your story tell? If someone read about your story, a description of your story, what would it say? The title of my message today is simply two words, my story. And when I say my story, I mean you and I, our story. And here are my 2 points I want to get across for today's message. If it comes on the board, there it is. Thank you, gentlemen. My first point, may my story point people to Jesus. And two, we all have a beautiful story to tell. So my first point, may my story point people to Jesus. My message was also inspired by the song, My Story, by the band Big Daddy Weave, which some of you know. In 2015, they produced this song, My Story. And I was listening to it on K-Love Radio. It came up when I was driving down the road, and I liked it so much, I went home and I downloaded it, and I listened to it a couple of times. It's an upbeat Christian song, but it has beautiful lyrics. If you don't know the song, or maybe you need to be reminded, maybe download it and listen to it when you get home. I guarantee you'll be encouraged by the lyrics in the song. And I listened to the song, and I wrote this about my life, what I want my story to tell. I think many here would agree they want their story to tell the same thing. So this is what I wrote for myself. I want my story to point people to Jesus, point people to his love, his mercy, and his grace, and what he did for me on the cross. I want my story to point people to him for salvation, point people to his kingdom, point people to him when they need comfort, encouragement, hope, and strength. I want my story to be a story of praise, pointing people to him by telling how good he is and all that he's done in my life. I owe him everything. Amen? You would agree, you'd want your story to be the same. So let's look briefly at 3 men in the Bible whose stories pointed people to Jesus. The first one is John the Baptist. And we know his stories in the Gospels. And we know his birth was a fulfillment of prophecy as a messenger who would prepare a way for the Lord. And think about his life. He called people to repentance. He pointed to the kingdom of God. He baptized people. He lived a dedicated life. So let's read John chapter 1, 19 to 34. As John the Baptist tells his story, listen to the words. These are his words. Starting in verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Messiah. They asked him, then who are you, Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? I baptize with water, John replied. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. So the next day, it says in verse 29, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And what did he say, my brothers and sisters in Christ? He said these words, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. And then again, John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one. Amen. We know John's mission very well, to announce the coming of Jesus and tell people to get ready to receive him. That was his story. His story was simply to point people to Jesus. When he was questioned by the priests and Levites, what did he do? He pointed him to Jesus. The next day when he saw Jesus again, what did he do? He pointed them to Jesus. John couldn't forgive their sins permanently. Only Jesus could. John couldn't save people. All he did was point Jesus as the only way to salvation. John the Baptist's story pointed people to Jesus. May our story do the same. So let's read about the second person that was on my heart, Paul. Again, another person we know very, very well in Scripture. But Paul, before Christ, what was he? Well, he lived his life as a Pharisee. He had a great worldly resume, but his life was marked by religious zeal in the wrong way. Violence. He had power and influence, and we know he relentlessly persecuted the church. Oh, but when Paul got saved, what did he do? He started to tell his story in a different way. So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 17. Again, this is Paul speaking, telling about his story after he became a Christian. Listen to the words. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out to me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. There was no bragging in his tone. Verse 16, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We know from what I just said and what we just read about Paul, his life before Jesus, and we know that great story in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus. We all know what he was doing, looking for Christians to persecute them. And if the Lord didn't meet him that day, God knows how many people would have been killed or put in prison. But the Lord met him. And Paul became a Christian. And his story changed. Right? We know pride left, and what came in? Humility came in his life. He no longer lived for what he personally wanted to do. He no longer had his personal agenda. His agenda was all about living for Jesus. His agenda was about pointing people to Jesus. He was called to do that. In the verses we read, we read how thankful he was. The Lord allowed him to be in service, giving him strength to do the ministry. He pointed to Jesus by telling of his grace and mercy, telling how the Lord changed his life. Didn't he tell people that by his words? Pointing people to Jesus by telling how great the Lord is, and all honor and glory should him, to go to him. Amen. Paul's story pointed people to Jesus. I keep on saying that, but that's what I want to get home today. May our story do the same. My last person I want to talk about is Joseph in the Old Testament. Of course, Joseph was born before Jesus came to this world, but Joseph's story points people to Jesus. There's a lot of great lessons in the story of Joseph. And we know in the book of Genesis, it starts in chapter 37 and ends in Genesis chapter 50. And Joseph, a little bit about him, we know this, but let's set some context. He was the favorite son of Jacob. He had that special coat of colors. His brothers were jealous of him and were going to kill him, but then by God's mercy and grace, he ended up being sold to slavery in Egypt instead. And we know in Egypt, he rose to prominence, right? And then he was falsely accused and thrown in jail because he lived a godly life. And in jail, because God gave him the gift of interpreting dreams, God used it to get him out of jail a couple years later because Pharaoh had a dream and no one could interpret it. So Joseph interprets the dream. There'll be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And then he becomes second in command of Egypt. And the Lord gave him success. And then during the famine, his brothers who sold him to slavery came to Egypt, not knowing he was there, not recognizing him, but they came because there was a famine. They needed food. Joseph saw him. He tested their character, and a little while later, he revealed himself, and he forgave them. And then by God's mercy, during that time, he later reunites with his father Jacob before he passed away. But there's one part of Joseph's story I want to talk about today that has always touched me. It's in Genesis chapter 50, 15 through 21. The way he deals with his brothers and how he talks to them. So let's read Genesis chapter 50, starting with verse 15. Listen to his words and tell me this doesn't point to Jesus. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you, forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to Joseph, he wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. And these are the words of Joseph that are so Christ-like. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for the good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. You know, we know Joseph's story started with youthful pride when he was with his brothers and his dad. But his life changed when he came to Egypt. It's one that points to Jesus. It tells of forgiveness. You know, his brothers deserved his wrath, and no one would have blinked an eye if he said, "Go kill them." He's second in command. Pharaoh respects him. No, his brothers found mercy and grace. The same way Jesus gave us mercy and grace. You know, if you're a Christian here today, you could have died before you knew the Lord. Could have had an accident. As a child, as an adult, a car accident, a disease. Something could have took you. And no one had even known, except your family probably. But Jesus knew. He had mercy and grace like you, too, like Joseph had to his brothers. Joseph's life points to the Lord by Acts 8:28. All things work for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Didn't Joseph have that point of view? And he told his brothers that? His story shows how close he was with the Lord. How dedicated, how close he walked with him. Remember when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sleep with him? What did he do? He ran away. Being holy meant more to him than any fleshy desire. He was dedicated to the Lord. His life showed it. His story points people to the Lord and gives him glory. Joseph's story pointed people to Jesus. May our story do the same. And you think about the three men that I just read. John the Baptist, Paul, and Joseph. They didn't live for me, myself, and I. They didn't brag about themselves. They never got a big head. You think about John the Baptist. That was a fulfillment of prophecy. You know, when God blesses people, sometimes they get a big head. John the Baptist didn't. He was influential. He got people to be baptized. It never gave him a big head. It was all about the Lord. Paul didn't care about his worldly resume when he became a Christian. But he had a big resume spiritually, how the Lord used him. Did he get a big head? No, Paul didn't. Joseph? Oh boy, how much power did he have in his time in Egypt? Second in command? The gift of interpreting dreams? What a gift to have. I would love to have that one. Didn't give him a big head. You know what? Lord gave me that gift. It's really me, actually. You know, it's my gift. No, they didn't. Joseph saved many lives. How God used him. He never had an ego. May our stories not be the same. May our stories not be ones with ego or me, myself, and I. But ones that point to Jesus. Their stories are so beautiful. There's so many godly stories in the Bible. And there's such beautiful stories when you read about them. And I just read three today. But all these stories all point to Jesus. And it brings me to my next point. We all have a beautiful story to tell. We tell our story in how we live, by our actions and our words. We tell it to each other daily every time that we meet as a body. We tell it to those who don't know the Lord by how we conduct our families and what we say. And I think we all need to be encouraged to tell our story. You know, I think the enemy does not want you to live a strong Christian life. He doesn't want you to have a strong testimony. He wants to beat you up so that you don't tell your story. That you don't have a fire in your belly to tell your story. Because each of us has a story. So I have these points that I wrote for myself, but I pray they're an encouragement for you. So that each of us will tell our story with these thoughts. The first point. If you are a Christian, and you are Jesus Christ's child by his redemptive power, have received his mercy and grace, and he has changed your life, you have a beautiful story to tell. If you are a Christian and are living for Jesus 24/7, going to church, living for him inside and outside these walls, serving him with all your heart for his glory, and living a life of praise, you have a beautiful story to tell. If you are a Christian and Jesus has healed you, how many here have been healed from their past? You don't need to raise your hand. From my sins and my pain. I'll continue. If you had victories in areas of your life, if you have seen the Lord's faithfulness and received his blessings, you have a beautiful story to tell. I have a couple more for you. If you are a Christian going through a difficult trial, struggling with personal challenges, which we all understand, and everyone here has gone and is probably going through. Your story is not done. With Jesus, victory can be had. Personal challenges can be conquered. The flesh of your bloodline can be squashed. That does not affect you in your life. Trials can end with big spiritual blessings. Big spiritual blessings can happen during the trial. And you'll be able to tell a beautiful story. Two more. If you are a Christian but are not living a dedicated life, not living the life the Lord's called you to live, we each have a calling. Perhaps not going to church consistently. It's not a priority. Not serving or having the desire to serve. Not living the Christian life outside these walls. You know, it's easy to live the Christian life inside the walls when I'm talking to Dean and Adel, about how I'm out in the world with my neighbors or family members. Oh, but the story's not done. You can grow in these areas, right? We can change. We can improve. We can have a walk that's more dedicated to Jesus, more committed. One, of course, is never going to be perfect. No Christian is. But one walking daily with him. living the life the Lord's called you to live. And you'll be able to tell a beautiful story. My last point is for anybody here who's not a Christian, because I don't know, or somebody online that maybe does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not a Christian, have not given your life to Jesus Christ, have not asked Him to forgive your sins and be your Lord and your Savior, if you don't have a date, a moment in your time where you got saved, it's one of the biggest lies, I think. People think they're Christians growing up in a church. When you get saved, you know it. There's a date. You think Paul ever forgot his date? I don't forget mine, and I don't mind ever bragging about it. Continuing with the thought, the Lord wants to save you today. He wants to give you a beautiful story, a story that now can be written with Him in it. A story that will become more and more beautiful as you live with Him. A story that you can start to tell. Everyone here has their story. And oftentimes life does not turn out how we planned it, whether you were in your childhood or as an adult. When I was a kid, I dreamed of playing in the NBA. Yeah. I always tell Dave when we played, I was Steph Curry before he was Steph Curry. Obviously, that didn't work out, and I'm not bitter. It took me a couple decades, but I'm over it. But we can become bitter in life, and it's understandable. But in life, we have our victories, don't we? We have our losses, our accomplishments. We have our mountaintop experiences, and they're great. And we have our valleys, and they're tough. And disappointments and aspirations maybe are not met. But let me tell you something, and I'm going to say this twice. A life with Jesus Christ is a beautiful life. A life with Jesus Christ is a beautiful life. Don't ever forget it. It was beautiful the day that you gave your life to Him. Every single person here, when you got saved, what a beautiful moment. You know, I'm happy for you because I know how it feels. It's a beautiful life to be dedicated in service, isn't it? Isn't it, Dean? Rolling up your sleeves. You know, I was looking at the church website the other day, and I just thought to my mind, but Dean's been a deacon for 40 years, right? And it blew me away. But praise God. It's a beautiful life, Dean, isn't it? It's a beautiful life to live a life of praise no matter what's going on in your life. Praise God during their good times. But to praise Him during the bad times, that's beautiful. We know another busy year is ending in a couple weeks, a new year will start. But dear Christian, you have a beautiful story in Him, a story to tell. I want to end with a beautiful story today. It's from a video that I saw earlier this year, and it touched me. It actually brought me to tears because I heard about a man's testimony. And people's testimonies are just, when you don't know the person, you hear it, and it breaks you to the core. And so here's the story. It came from December 2019. The evangelist Franklin Graham had a two-day event in Cambodia to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ. It was estimated on that two-day event, almost 24,000 people heard the gospel. It marked the largest Christian outreach ever to be held in the Kingdom of Cambodia in 2019. On that weekend, around 1,400 Cambodians made a decision to follow Jesus. There were so many there that was counting. Isn't that beautiful? What a stat. And in the video, there was a Cambodian man who gave his testimony. He gave his story. And listen to his story. The man's name was Barnabas Mam. He was a young communist spy in the 1970s. He was brought up to have a negative view of Western culture and Christianity. His communist mentor told him there was going to be a crusade and that he was advised to go and spy on it. Right? That was his motive, to go spy on it. So he went. It was overcrowded in the auditorium, and the only space for him was in the very back. So you can imagine, he's a spy going to hear this evangelist, and he sits in the very back, and then he heard the gospel. Amen. He heard how becoming a Christian is to return home to be with your loving and caring Father. To return home. It brought him to tears. And that night he gave his life to Jesus Christ, despite at risk for great persecution. He stated, "Communists do not believe in any religion. Communists is their religion." And now as a Christian, he was considered their enemy. His communist mentor, because he loved him, this is the Lord, allowed him to be released from being a spy. That was the one big blessing. He didn't rat him out or anything. He just let him go. But unfortunately, in 1975, the communist regime started to imprison those who were suspected of being disloyal to the government. And so he was imprisoned. He saw many people die. And he had major health problems. But he stayed faithful to the Lord. We know during that time in history, many Christians died. There was a lot of persecution in the 70s in Cambodia. Once he was free, he didn't give up living for the Lord. No, he joined the underground church from 1979 to 1985. People give up when they go through trials. This man went through a lot. He didn't give up. He wanted to point people to Jesus. This is how the Lord used him. He had a ministry and it grew. The Lord used him to plant hundreds of churches in Cambodia. Hundreds. I thought I misread that. He probably did little here, there, and there. He ministered as a pastor and an evangelist. And in December 2019, at the event, he was the Cambodian interpreter for Franklin Graham. Probably watch the video. Franklin Grant comes out, and this man comes out, Barnabas came out, and he's just, the joy on his face. He's preaching the gospel to his people because he wanted them saved. Think about this man's story. From a communist spy to a Christian pastor and evangelist. Being used by the Lord as an interpreter for Franklin Graham, where almost 1,400 people got saved. What a beautiful story. And when he told this story, he didn't brag. It wasn't ego. He was just thankful to be a Christian. He was so thankful that God would just use him. And he wanted to tell people. Ah, Christians. You know, my life before Christ was not a beautiful story. It was not. Without Christ, it would have ended probably bad. And I know many here can say that. Right? It wasn't a beautiful story. It's been a beautiful story since I asked him to be my Lord and Savior. Has life been perfect, Rick Punzo? No. Have I had my trials? Yes. Has Rick Punzo blown it? Oh, many times. Has Rick Punzo not been faithful sometimes? Yes. Has Rick Punzo been lazy sometimes? Yes. All of those things. Have I had victories? Oh, yes. Many. Have I had losses? Yes. But now it's a beautiful story. And I want to encourage you today. Until the Lord takes us home, your story is still being written. I don't know if Jessica's listening to this because I don't know if she can, but I thought about her. Jessica's story is still being written. And I pray she hears this because she has a beautiful story in the Lord, despite her trials. She really does. So Christians, if our stories point people to Jesus, and we pray that the Lord uses our beautiful story. Can you imagine the impact we can make for him? Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we gather as a body today. And we heard a beautiful song, The Goodness of God. And you put a message on my heart about my story. Lord, each of us have a story, Lord. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful that you changed our story. Lord, we're so grateful for your free gift of salvation. We're so grateful for being born as we celebrate this Christmas season. We're so grateful for you and your ministry as you walk this earth. And we're so grateful that you stayed and you went to the cross for us, Lord. And you forgave our sins when we bowed our knees and asked you to be our Lord and Savior. And Lord, each of us here as Christians have a beautiful story to tell. May we tell it, Lord. May we have a desire to tell it. May we show it to each other. And may we show it to this world, Lord. There's somebody out there that we're going to see this week that doesn't know you, a neighbor, a co-worker, family member, an old friend. Guide us, Lord. Give us the words to tell our story, Lord. That people would hear and maybe want to become a Christian. We pray for anybody here that's listening to these words, whether they're sitting down in a seat in this room or online that don't know you, that they would see how much you love them and you want them to ask you to be their Lord and Savior. And now their story can be with you in it, Lord. And they can start to tell it, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this time. We ask as we walk out these doors that we would be an example for you, that we would protect us as we go out on our way, and may we be a light to this world, Lord Jesus. And we just praise you and love you in your most precious name we pray. Amen.